It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to start off with an experience I had last weekend, a very, very unlikely experience one is to have. When you are on the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, about 250 miles east of Houston, same distance west of New Orleans, in the thriving metropolis of Abbeville. Abbeville is where the road ends before it dumps off into the vast marshes, which make up the Gulf Coast marshes, and then moves on to becoming the Gulf of Mexico. So I'm probably, 10 or 12 air miles from the Gulf itself, where the road ends, and where the temperature went on my arrival from 56 degrees, normal for Louisiana this time of the year, to 17 degrees. So it's hard for me to believe that I could equal the experience I had, if you will, of man versus nature, which I encountered on the Delta Marsh in the middle of October. Well, if you may recall, I did a show on just one of the epic days to be outdoors when the northwest wind came down straight from the Arctic, rolled across Lake Manitoba, pounded onto the sand shores of the Delta Beach, and over its top came thousands of canvasbacks riding the wind, if you will, into the Delta Marsh on what was one of the great canvasback hunts that one can have in the modern age, and took us back to a time when 100 years ago or more, the Duke of York came to the Delta Marsh and experienced maybe not the weather, but certainly the sights we had. So moving south several thousand miles, middle of January, you wouldn't think you could experience it again. But lo and behold, this time the Arctic blast not only came straight down Lake Manitoba, came over Lake Superior and all the way down the Midwest and cut like a knife into the heart of the South. And if you may recall last week, the Interstate I-10 was closed from Houston, I think, to Pensacola, Florida for 3 days. Everything was shut down. At one point in time, there was snow in Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, a very rare occurrence. And there I was at the end of the road, trapped. Imagine that, trapped in a duck hunting camp on the marsh, can't get out, and the only thing one could do was go duck hunting. Except the only problem was it got so cold that the water itself, in a place where the water never freezes, froze. And I'm not talking about the pipes. There's no insulation in these little cabins. They don't expect this kind of cold. I'm talking about the marsh itself. Temperature dropped into the teens two nights in a row. It never got above freezing one day, and we might as well have been in northern Illinois looking at black ice. Interestingly, the ducks kept open. The ice holes, they moved out into the Gulf of Mexico, and if you could, as we did, battle our way through the ice in boats that with big motors and could make an ice hole, it was one of those experiences that those of you who've been in the outdoors understand when it's just you against the elements, whether it's catching a monster fish or, in this case, having an epic mallard hunt. It's the experience I enjoyed, but it does show that this has been one wickedly cold winter in the Midwest, as we know. But out west, just the opposite's happening. We are in a period of almost no snow across the Rockies. There are very few areas that have any snow, and we're dealing with, in fact, record warmth. So on one part of the continent, we're dealing with record cold, and out west, we're dealing with, when I say out west, the Rocky Mountain region, we're dealing with record warmth. But to be in Louisiana, when basically everything shuts down, nobody could drive, the ice, the roads had about an inch to an inch and a half of ice, covered them, and it covered them for 3 days. You could have skated. If I'd thought of bringing my ice skates, I could have skated from Abbeville to Houston. Might have taken a while, but you could have done it. Instead, I enjoyed gumbo and more gumbo and etouffee and then some more gumbo as we rode out one of the worst storms to hit the south coast of Louisiana, in fact, in our lifetimes. So that was my experience in Louisiana, where I didn't have enough clothing, but we fortunately had plenty of food. And it was just a magnificent time to be in the outdoors, as it had been 3 months earlier on the Delta Marsh when the same kind of weather hit. Only there, they're accustomed to it. So shifting quickly from Louisiana to a quick story on the Pebble Mine before I take a break. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk about GPS and drones and what is taking place with the usage of drones and GPS. But the pebble mine, as you've heard me talk about, is potentially the most harmful mine to be placed into existence in a long period of time. It's just at the headwaters of the river system up on the Nishigak River, which is the headwaters for much of the phenomenal fishing that makes up the estuary of Bristol Bay and gives Alaska the richest fishery in the world. The EPA said it's a state's issue, which is really a cop-out, but they said it was a state's issue, and so the state of Alaska is now going to have a ballot initiative next fall, which will be an initiative to stop the pebble mine. It'll be a referendum that is on the ballot, and if it gains a plurality, it'll be binding, and the pebble mine will stop. The question is, will this, in fact, be the case? It is well known the pebble mine is vociferously opposed by the interests who rely on Alaska's fishing resources for their livelihood and their tourist camps and tourism in general. But it's also known that industry in Alaska is extremely powerful, the mining industry being the backbone of the economy in Alaska, whether it's oil mining or hard metal mining. So it will be very interesting to watch. The EPA essentially has washed its hands of this and said it's a state's issue. Those individuals in Alaska who have fought the pebble mine for all these years believe it actually is a clean water issue. But really what it is an issue now as we roll into 2018 of will we permit a mine to take place that could destroy. It doesn't mean it will destroy, but potentially could put at risk, it will put at risk, the world's richest fishery, that being Bristol Bay. So we'll keep track of that in the coming months, but the initiative is going to be on the ballot in Alaska, and it'll be the first time, I believe, that Alaska has ever had a states' rights issue pitting the mining industry against the commercial fishing and recreational industries and tourism industries. I'll be back in just a moment, and when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the EPA and also GPS and drones. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America on WGN Radio 720. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to start off with an experience I had last weekend, a very, very unlikely experience one is to have. When you are on the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, about 250 miles east of Houston, same distance west of New Orleans, in the thriving metropolis of Abbeville. Abbeville is where the road ends before it dumps off into the vast marshes, which make up the Gulf Coast marshes, and then moves on to becoming the Gulf of Mexico. So I'm probably, 10 or 12 air miles from the Gulf itself, where the road ends, and where the temperature went on my arrival from 56 degrees, normal for Louisiana this time of the year, to 17 degrees. So it's hard for me to believe that I could equal the experience I had, if you will, of man versus nature, which I encountered on the Delta Marsh in the middle of October. One of you may recall I did a show on just one of the epic days to be outdoors when the northwest wind came down straight from the Arctic, rolled across Lake Manitoba, pounded onto the sand shores of the Delta Beach, and over its top came thousands of canvasbacks riding the wind, if you will, into the Delta Marsh on what was one of the great canvasback hunts that one can have in the modern age, and took us back to a time when 100 years ago or more, the Duke of York came to the Delta Marsh and experienced maybe not the weather, but certainly the sights we had. So moving south several thousand miles, middle of January, you wouldn't think you could experience it again, but lo and behold, this time the Arctic blast not only came straight down Lake Manitoba, came over Lake Superior and all the way down the Midwest and cut like a knife into the heart of the South. And if you may recall last week, the Interstate I-10 was closed from Houston, I think, to Pensacola, Florida for 3 days. Everything was shut down. At one point in time, there was snow in Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, a very rare occurrence. And there I was at the end of the road, trapped. Imagine that, trapped in a duck hunting camp on the marsh, can't get out, and the only thing one could do was go duck hunting. Except the only problem was it got so cold that the water itself, in a place where the water never freezes, froze. And I'm not talking about the pipes. There's no insulation in these little cabins. They don't expect this kind of cold. I'm talking about the marsh itself. Temperature dropped into the teens two nights in a row. It never got above freezing one day, and we might as well have been in northern Illinois looking at black ice. Interestingly, the ducks kept open. The ice holes, they moved out into the Gulf of Mexico, and if you could, as we did, battle our way through the ice in boats that with big motors and could make an ice hole, it was one of those experiences that those of you who've been in the outdoors understand when it's just you against the elements, whether it's catching a monster fish or, in this case, having an epic mallard hunt. It's the experience I enjoyed, but it does show that this has been one wickedly cold winter in the Midwest, as we know. But out west, just the opposite's happening. We are in a period of almost no snow across the Rockies. There are very few areas that have any snow, and we're dealing with, in fact, record warmth. So on one part of the continent, we're dealing with record cold, and out west, we're dealing with, when I say out west, the Rocky Mountain region, we're dealing with record warmth. But to be in Louisiana, when basically everything shuts down, nobody could drive, the ice, the roads had about an inch to an inch and a half of ice, covered them, and it covered them for 3 days. You could have skated. If I'd thought of bringing my ice skates, I could have skated from Abbeville to Houston. Might have taken a while, but you could have done it. Instead, I enjoyed gumbo and more gumbo and etouffee and then some more gumbo as we rode out one of the worst storms to hit the south coast of Louisiana, in fact, in our lifetimes. So that was my experience in Louisiana, where I didn't have enough clothing, but we fortunately had plenty of food. And it was just a magnificent time to be in the outdoors, as it had been 3 months earlier on the Delta Marsh when the same kind of weather hit. Only there, they're accustomed to it. So shifting quickly from Louisiana to a quick story on the Pebble Mine before I take a break. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk about GPS and drones and what is taking place with the usage of drones and GPS. But the Pebble Mine, as you've heard me talk about, it is potentially the most harmful mine to be placed into existence in a long period of time. It sits at the headwaters of the river system up on the Nishigak River, which is the headwaters for much of the phenomenal fishing that makes up the estuary of Bristol Bay and gives Alaska the richest fishery in the world. The EPA said it's a state's issue, which is really a cop-out, but they said it was a state's issue, and so the state of Alaska is now going to have a ballot initiative next fall, which will be an initiative to stop the Pebble Mine. It'll be a referendum that is on the ballot, and if it gains a plurality, it'll be binding, and the Pebble Mine will stop. The question is, will this, in fact, be the case? It is well known the Pebble Mine is vociferously opposed by the interests who rely on Alaska's fishing resources for their livelihood and their tourist camps and tourism in general. But it's also known that industry in Alaska is extremely powerful, the mining industry being the backbone of the economy in Alaska, whether it's oil mining or hard metal mining. So it will be very interesting to watch. The EPA essentially has washed its hands of this and said it's a state's issue. Those individuals in Alaska who have fought the Pebble Mine for all these years believe it actually is a clean water issue. But really what it is an issue now as we roll into 2018 of will we permit a mine to take place that could destroy. It doesn't mean it will destroy, but potentially could put at risk, it will put at risk, the world's richest fishery, that being Bristol Bay. So we'll keep track of that in the coming months, but the initiative is going to be on the ballot in Alaska, and it'll be the first time, I believe, that Alaska has ever had a state's rights issue pitting the mining industry against the commercial fishing and recreational industries and tourism industries. I'll be back in just a moment, and when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the EPA and also GPS and drones. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America on WGN Radio 720. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.